This is By the Horns Podcast with your host, me, Ethan Corbin, and our guest today, the Armorist, who is on episode 3, I think. It has been a long time, everybody that's listening. I don't know how many there are. There could be a few hundred, there could be like one. I've got no clue, and yeah, I don't know how to figure out how many people are listening to this. Either way, it's been a long damn time, fellas. I think the last time I made one of these was in May. It's September now. Hope everybody had a good summer. It's been fun. It's been a good fucking time. So, yeah. I'm not drunk by any means. And we have been fooling with an AR-15 and cooking steak and lifting weights for the past 5 hours. And me and my good friend here, the Armorist, who assisted me in putting my gun together. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Shit. He lived 20 minutes away from there. So that's basically saying, you know, the town that you grew up in, on the other side of town, is evidently not the town you grew up in. Yeah. You know, it's
the gun was, and his firearm was registered in that state as well.
Yeah, the gun was completely legal. Also, the age argument, him being 17, is an absolute non sequitur. You have the right to defend yourself no matter how old you are, no matter where you go. It does not matter what the law says. You have the right to defend yourself. And any attempts to strip that right from you are not just tyrannical, they are evil.
Absolutely.
Wholly evil in nature.
Where what's no the mistake. Difference? What's the difference between tyranny and evil?
Well,
I don't think there is much.
Yeah, there isn't much of a difference. But in this case in particular, you know, especially as it concerns the, you know, the Second Amendment, whether the Constitution existed or not, and I think I said this in the last podcast at one point, but whether the Constitution existed or not, it makes no difference. You, by the fact that God breathed life into you, by the fact that you were born on this planet Earth, you have an innate, as part of the gift of life, the one part of the gift of life is the right to self-defense, and it is a sin for you to not use that right, for one, but it's more of a sin, it's more evil for people to try to strip that right from you. Those people, and the thing is too, Kyle Rittenhouse is a young, armed, white male. He is who the people, who the powers that be, who the people that hate good people fear the most. He is the exact demographic of people that that are hated the most among the elites, the Democrats and all that. But anyways, so make no mistake that any attempts to make Kyle look bad, or it is not just an attack on Kyle. It is an attack on all good, young, armed people. Well, good armed people in general, but specifically the armed good people who will not sit idly by while their country is burned to the ground. That any action taken against the status quo is going to be met with disdain and malice from not only the government, not only the mob, but everybody. Every domesticated lemming, every sheep, they don't realize how pivotal this Kenosha, this shooting was. Because if this kid is convicted, if this man is convicted of anything, that will be proof that we are, I mean, it should already be evident, but that will be proof that we are no doubt at war and that we are on the losing side because we have allowed the enemy to take root in our justice system. We cannot win in a justice system that is pitched against us. We will have no choice but to resort to violent means and stay violent because we will never be able to win in this, in a justice system that punishes people for rightful self-defense like they are trying to do to Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, that's basically the overarching narrative, I suppose, as it concerns a shooting. But I suppose we should actually go into detail about what exactly happened and clear up, because there's been a lot of misinformation as to what this kid did. I'm sorry, not kid. He is a man. He is someone to be emulated. But anyways, we should probably establish the true and exact storyline of what happened, how everything went down, so you can judge for yourself. So, would you like to do that, or would you like me to do that?
I'll let you do that, because you are more knowledgeable than me in that exact subject.
Okay. Personally. Okay. So, on the night of August 25th, that was when all this happened, Kyle Rittenhouse, before any of this even happened, he was helping to clean graffiti, and actually administering first aid to prior injured protesters, in Kenosha. He was not there looking for trouble, like many people would surmise. He simply, the reason he went there armed is because he knows that these protesters are violent. He would have been stupid not to go armed. Not armed with a big gun, by the way. Not just a small gun. He needed he needed tactical superiority. He needed the upper hand in terms of firepower, because God only knows what some of those protesters had, as we will find out later.
We all saw what happened to the guy with the little gun in that situation.
Right, exactly. Anyways, so he was helping to clean graffiti. He was administering first aid to wounded protesters, who he disagreed with, and disagreed with him, probably hated him, but he was doing the moral thing. He helped these people anyways. The police were pushing a large group of protesters down the street, and these protesters ended up outside of where Kyle and some of the other people that he was with, where they were. It was outside of either an auto mechanic shop or a small car dealership. I don't remember exactly. But anyways, these people who had already been burning places down and everything, these people who were clearly angry, clearly violent, started approaching, and they saw that Kyle was armed, and of course, naturally, they did not like that. They started accosting Kyle, and Kyle, for most of the confrontation, not only kept his distance, but he kept his wits about him. He was not getting outwardly violent with them or anything. There is some conflicting. I've heard some people say both. Some people say that there were gunshots before Kyle first started shooting. That part is, as far as I know, unconfirmed. But the man who Kyle ended up shooting in the head, first he threw something which has still yet to have been identified. Some people say it's a Molotov. Some people say it's a plastic bag. I don't think anyone really knows. In the video, it moves a lot faster than a plastic bag would. If it was a plastic bag, it had something with a little bit of weight to it in it. Anyways, he threw that at Kyle. Kyle turned around, and as he turned around, the man tried to disarm Kyle, tried to grab his gun, in which Kyle had no choice but to fire, because if the man got Kyle's gun, he undoubtedly would have, if not shot him with it, beat him with it, or something. He was
defending himself entirely.
Inarguably defending himself. So he shoots him, hits him in the head, and then immediately tries to help him. He wraps his shirt around him, and then as soon as he starts doing that, the mob comes up and tries to, it starts accosting him. They're yelling at him, they're threatening him and everything. And he does, again, the smart thing. And if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin does not have a duty to retreat, but he retreated anyways. So that just adds credence to his legal defense. Anyways, he starts to run away and get down the street, because he obviously wants to remove himself from the situation, because he would be stupid not to. I don't care how big of a gun you have, when you're outnumbered in the literal hundreds by these angry protesters, you'd be stupid to stick around. So he does the right thing. He starts running down the street. Well, then, of course, these rabid, insane protesters start chasing him. Well, one of them comes up and goes to hit him with a skateboard and hits him. He falls to the ground and turns around, and then there's a whole group of people trying to attack him. One of them comes up and tries to hit him again with the skateboard. He shoots him, and he falls almost immediately to the ground. Then this other one comes up, and he's the one who, he got his arm blown off, but he was not killed. This guy, at first, and you have to pay attention very closely in the video, but this guy at first pretends Kyle aims at him, because he clears a jam in his gun, and then he aims at him, and this guy, he puts his hands up and backs off, pretending to surrender. Now, as soon as Kyle turns to someone else who was running up at him, this guy runs up and he has a Glock in his hand and is literally about to execute Kyle right there. And then Kyle sees what's happening, turns and hits and fires his AR, hits the guy in the arm, blows half of his arm off, rightfully so. It's a shame it didn't kill that bastard. But anyways, then immediately after that, Kyle gets up and runs, and I think the mob at that point had learned their lesson not to fuck with him, rightfully so. He then runs down the street. The cops, for whatever reason, did not decide to arrest him right there, which, I mean, was not a bad thing necessarily, but it's just, it's out of character for the police. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if they've released a statement on that yet, but I'm sure they will. But anyways, he eventually turned himself into the police. The police that were right there at the scene, they ran straight past him and were administering first aid to the people who had just been shot. Anyways, but he turned himself into the police, and now, despite doing everything right, he retreated. He fired only in self-defense. He did not hit any innocent bystanders, anything. He had a flawless victory. On top of the fact that the first dude that he killed was a convicted pedophile. The second dude that he killed had been arrested 7 times for domestic abuse. And then the guy that he shot, he had a criminal history, but I don't remember exactly what it is, but I would assume that it's violent because he posted a picture of him in the hospital after the shooting. By the way, this man has not been charged for anything. Despite the fact that he was a felon and was not allowed to own a handgun or any gun at all, he has not been charged with anything. He has not been charged with attempted murder. He has not been charged with illegally possessing a firearm. Nothing. Anyways, he posted a picture on Facebook of him in the hospital and it had a long caption, but part of that caption said that the only part that he regretted was not killing him, referring to Kyle Rittenhouse. So that man is he should by no means be venerated, nor should the pedophile, nor should the domestic abuser. Make no mistake about that. Anyways, so Kyle turns himself in, and now he's, despite doing everything right, despite doing the absolute right thing in every single metric, morally, legally, everything, he's being charged with first-degree murder and a slew of other bullshit charges. Now, luckily, he does have some of the best lawyers in the country helping him, but there is, even if he gets off this case scot-free, he will never be able to live a normal life because the general populace hates him, and they hate him for the reasons that I mentioned before. He is the demographic that scares the most amount of people using the firearm that scares the most amount of people.
Exactly.
And for that, he will never be able to live a normal life. Even if he gets off scot-free, he's probably going to have to live in witness protection for the rest of his life. I wish nothing for the best for that kid, and I plan on donating to him whenever I can find a reputable and a place to donate that it can be confirmed that the money is going to him, to his family. But anyways, basically, the moral of the story is Kyle Rittenhouse is not only 1,000% in the right, he was 1,000% acting righteously and justly. On top of that, any attempts to smear him, any attempts to defame him, any attempts to make him look bad is not just an attack on him, it is an attack on you. It is an attack on me, it is an attack on any good person you've ever known, because they want to take away our right to self-defense so that the mob can rule, because when the mob rules, the people at the top, you know who they are, the people at the top can do whatever they want, because good people will be forced into submission. We will not be able to do anything. That's why they want to defund the police while simultaneously taking our guns. They want us helpless and at the mercy of the mob. So even if you don't like Kyle Rittenhouse for whatever reason, even if you think he's somewhat guilty or whatever dumb shit you might believe, make no mistake that in supporting his downfall in whatever way, you are harming yourself. Make no mistake about that.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, and I'm going to ask you some questions that I've seen circulating on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, that are against Kyle and whatnot, and I'm in full agreement with you. I back up everything the armorist just said. I just want to, you know, I'm gonna play a I'll play devil's advocate for a second. So, one of the biggest issues I see with the best argument from the other side I see is the whole police situation. He had privilege that privilege that the police didn't arrest him right away, and the police just ran past him, and they were, you know, they started administering first aid and whatever, and he turned himself in the next morning. And, you know, due to all the police situations and the protests and the George Floyd and all that good stuff, that seems to be a pretty fair argument. That seems to be a pretty fair argument. So where's your take on that?
Well, okay. I can answer this very tactfully, or I can answer this very, very abrasively. I'll try to be tactful.
Okay, let's be tactful.
So, I personally, if I were a cop and I saw someone running down the street with a firearm, and after just hearing gunshots, I would probably be on very high alert. However, Kyle was not pointing his gun. At the time that the cops showed up, Kyle was not pointing his gun at anybody. His gun was facing downward in a safe direction, and if I'm not mistaken, his hands were off the firearm. He was wearing purple gloves that stood out. The cops could very well see what he was doing with his hands. Now, it is somewhat out of character for the cops, like I said, because statistically, the cops, they don't give a damn what color you are. If they even think you're armed, you know, because see, you never hear about the white people that are killed, the innocent and unarmed white people that are killed by cops. You never hear about them. So do keep in mind that cops, regardless of color, will shoot your ass for no reason. They will, even if you are rightfully and legally armed, they will not respond well to that. So the fact, when I say that this was out of character for the cops to not pull their guns on him or arrest him right there, I mean it's out of character regardless of what color Kyle was. Now, I will say, those cops more than likely understood, there is such a thing as context clues. It is generally not the rioters who have ARs. You know, and those rioters generally don't tend to be young white males for the most part. And if they are young white males, they're not beefy looking like Kyle. They tend to be scrawny, you know, beta males. So just from those small little, you know, and it's not like they had to think about those things consciously. You know, those cops, you know, despite what you may think of them, they're not that stupid. When you look at someone, you can immediately tell, you know, when you see a young white kid with an AR, you're going to assume, especially because of what the media tells you, you're going to assume he's alt-right, he's this, he's that. But from that, you can, if you were a cop, you're going to assume, okay, this guy probably isn't out to get me. I'm a cop. He's probably Thin Blue Line supporter. You know, very intuitive. You know, this is all very intuitive. It's really not a stretch. You know, some people say, oh, well, come on, you're giving him too much credit. But it's really not that much of a stretch. I think if you're honest with yourself, you'll agree with me. Anyways, now granted I'm a little biased because I'm much more pro 2A than just about any law enforcement officer is, but I personally, if I were a cop, I would have told him, just go get out of the danger zone first, but just wait there for us. We'll come, you know, we'll take care of you later. I don't know that I would draw my gun on him. However, I know most cops are not me. I am just, you know, like many people, I am surprised that they didn't draw on him or anything. Especially given, I'm sure the cops are very jumpy nowadays, perhaps rightfully so, but the difference is, you know, between some of the notable cases of, of black men being killed, you know, despite being supposedly unarmed, normally they are, their hands are not visible, and if they are visible, they're visibly reaching for something in their, you know, back pocket, as in, you know, they're trying to be sneaky, they're trying to, you know, pull a fast one on the cops. This guy, his gun was right out in the open. His hands, like I said, he was wearing those purple gloves. They stood out in the night. His hands were very much visible, and he was very much not intending to be intimidating toward those cops. He also was not, they were not giving him direct orders that he was disobeying, like many of these unarmed, or supposedly unarmed black men do when they're accosted by the cops. So it is different, but I, you know, if you don't scrutinize like the way that I am, I can sort of understand thinking that he might have had a privilege. But you know what? Fact of the matter is, whites commit less crime than blacks anyways, so maybe he deserves that privilege. I don't know. But call it racist, call it whatever you want, but statistically that's true. If you don't believe me, go to the FBI website, look up the crime statistics. Anyways, so this kid, he really did nothing wrong, in my opinion. And as for whether or not the cops should have shot him on sight, I think that would have made a lot of people happy. But, you know, those people are evil people, considering those are the same people that cheered when, just a couple nights ago, two Trump supporters in Portland were executed completely unprovoked, completely out of nowhere, and they cheered for that. So anyone who says that he had privilege or that he was acting immorally in whatever way needs to shut their mouths, because those same people are supporting the violence against the Trump supporters in Portland, as far as I've seen. So,
okay, well, that was a good response. I'm going to clarify that I, Ethan Corbin, do not agree with everything you just said, but I do respect your opinions here, and that's what this podcast is all about. We have opinions, and yeah. So, we're going to move on a little bit here, and we're going to ask, I hear people say that he was looking for trouble. I think this is an easier reply here. One of the main arguments I see is people that just say he was a punk kid out looking for trouble. He shouldn't have been 30 minutes away with an AR-15 looking, you know, just, or, you know. You know what I mean? People say he was out looking for trouble. He was hunting. Like, I saw something on social media a few days ago. Somebody quoted and actually said that they said he was hunting. When you go out and you take a gun out onto the streets like that, you're not defending anything, you're hunting.
Right.
So what do you say? Do you think he was hunting? Or do you think he was defending? And honestly, I'm gonna throw my opinion out there. Even if he was hunting, like,
good.
Yeah, more power to him. Like I don't see the problem with
Us right-leaning young armed people need to start doing that more often. Yeah, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, it is a different topic. But okay, legally, obviously, you know, hunting, you know, you can't just do that legally. Cool, I get that. But I mean, if you look at history, if you go back in time, like, name one fucking tribal warring nation that didn't hunt and, you know, see their enemies as a nation of dogs to be killed and hunted upon. I mean, like I said, if he was hunting, if he was out looking for trouble,
good on him.
Good on him. If he was straight up defending himself, even better on him, which is, you know, legally, which from all the videos show, that looks like what he was doing, honestly. I don't believe he was hunting. I don't believe he was out trying to look for trouble. But, I mean, even if he was actively out trying to, you know, put an end to the protests or put an end to whatever, to what was going on in his city, I'm still backing the kid. I'm still backing him, no matter what that was.
Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is, he was not there looking for trouble, because he was literally helping to remove graffiti. He was doing community service, literally, and he was administering first aid to the people that hate him.
Yeah, let's not forget the fact, this kid, he's a lifeguard, for one. That's his job. He's a lifeguard. He's only 17. So he saves lives for a living. He's not even an adult yet. He actually went out to the protests armed, and he had a first aid kit on him, ready to administer first aid to injured protesters. And you know, obviously, you're gonna take your gun with you. You're gonna take some kind of way to defend yourself.
You would be stupid not.
Yeah, you'd be stupid not to. If you're going out to go administer first aid during a protest, of course you're gonna take your gun. Like, if you have a weapon, you gotta take that. Do you want to get beaten? Like, what's that one reporter? Oh man, what's his name? I don't know. I'm sure anyone that listens to this probably listens to Joe Rogan and watches some right-wing news as well. But, there's that one reporter that he was like a left-leaning reporter, if I'm not mistaken. And he like got like attacked and beaten almost to death by Antifa sometime last year.
I feel like I heard about that, but
cannot think of his name to save my life. But, yeah, you'll end up like that guy. You'll end up getting beat down and in the ground if you don't bring a weapon. So, of course, you're going to bring a weapon. He's bringing a first aid kit to go patch up, go heal the protesters, and go, you know, administer first aid and whatnot. And, you know, the rest is history. The rest has already been spoken about here.
Right.
So, that's the whole Kyle situation. I back him. I'm going to donate to him whenever there's, you know, some kind of trustworthy fund.
Right.
You gave your opinion on that.
Right.
So, Second Amendment. Why is it important?
Oh, man.
What do you think of, what do you think about Joe Biden, Mr. Oh, son of a whore. That is going to be loud. That is going to be real.
You can see it on the...
You can see it takes up the full Holy thing. Shit. Well, if you're wearing headphones...
We apologize.
I am not responsible for your medical bills past this point. Anyways, back to topic here. Oh, Mr. Biden, future president of America, as we all know.
Right.
He said he wants to ban assault rifles and assault weapons. Why can't we do that? Tell me why we cannot. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, apart from the logistical improbabilities of just straight up banning them and how many people would not comply...
Or the whole buyback situation. I know Kamala talked about that.
Yeah, a mandatory buyback is not a buyback. It's a confiscation is all it is. Make no mistake about that. But, of course, they would try to disarm us because they plan on doing things that warrant them getting shot. Really, I mean, that kind of answers the question about why the Second Amendment is important. I mean, it is, regardless of whether or not the Second Amendment or the Constitution was ever even written, your right to self-defense is inalienable to you. That can never be taken away from you for any reason. You always have a right to preserve the life that God gave you. The best way to do that in the age in which we live, before guns were invented, it was swords. Now that guns exist, it's guns, and maybe one day we'll have laser weapons, and we'll be entitled to those as well. Whatever best helps you defend yourself and your life and your liberty, because life and liberty are very much intertwined, you not only have the right, but you have the duty to defend yourself against tyranny, because when you allow tyranny to prosper by not killing those who would tyrannize you, because it sounds extreme to say to kill them, right? Because you think, oh, well, you can just vote them out. But tyrants don't care about what you vote. They don't care. They're always going to find some way to tyrannize you in one way or the other. And that's exactly what they do. The only way to stop them is to imprison them or kill them. And you're not going to be able to do either one of those things without being properly armed. The Second Amendment is... You almost can't put into words how important it is and why it's so important. It's
if we lose the Second Amendment, all the other ones are out the window.
Right, exactly.
They're on the table too.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. If you don't have the First Amendment, you know, you have no chance of changing anything peacefully. And when that inevitably fails, which it always tends to do, history has shown that, the Second Amendment, the ability to change things by bullet rather than ballot, once that goes, all of your other amendments are null. It's only a matter of time until you become a bug man living like a slave. Right, you go from... And someone who is armed goes from a subject to a citizen. And that's a very important thing to remember. So that... I mean, that really pretty much sums up why the Second Amendment is important. I mean, you could go on about that for hours, though, really.
I like it. I agree. I'm running out of talking points here.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I probably need to go to bed soon anyways.
We're 30 minutes into this. Well, everybody. It's been real. It's been very real. I'm going to get back into this. We'll have the armorist on again soon. I'm going to try and get some of the other boys on. I got one friend, Mr. I'm not going to say his name, but we'll call him Tyler. Mr. Tyler, we need you to come on to this podcast. We need you to come on.
I don't think I even know who Mr. Tyler is.
I just mouthed to it. I mean, hell, maybe you guys heard it. I basically fucking whispered it at this point. But we need you to come on to this podcast. We're going to talk about God and Armageddon and why the end times are coming and the four horsemen of the apocalypse and all that good stuff. Because we have text conversations about it like at least once a week, twice a week or something. So yeah, Tyler, you already told me you are damn too shy to come on this. Well, it's okay, because there's hardly anybody listening anyway. So, come on the damn podcast, buddy, or I'm going to come over there and I'm going to kick your ass. I'm just kidding. I love you, buddy. Okay, well, it's been real. Go ahead and rack that thing right here for the mic.
I was about to say, we don't want to kill the people listening.
Yeah, we'll make some gun porn sounds for you guys real quick.
Yeah. Buy guns and arm yourselves, everybody. Oh, yeah. Trust God.
Yeah. Put it on fire and pull that trigger.
Oh, yeah.
Right next to the mic.
There we go.
Wait. Click that a couple times. Dude, we got some gun ASMR in here. Let's just be quiet.
Shit, I mean, it's on save, but, you know, probably ain't a good idea to fuck with the trigger.
Oh, well, here.
Here, hold on.
Yeah, pull that out. Pull that out. Rack it. Let's make some sounds. I'm glad we fucking... Oh, this is why you don't let a drunk man handle a gun. Wait, I'm not drunk, son of a bitch. What am I talking about?
There we go. Trigger is no longer set.
Do it again. I was rambling.
That looked like it hurt.
Oh, that's some gun porn, dude.
Oh, it is.
Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that ASMR with me rambling over it. And I also hope you enjoyed this entire podcast. It's been real. We'll have more soon. I'll have more soon. We will do this again. And remember to take life by the horns and get your shit together.